Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is Jesus gave two commandments to live by. Thank you for being here, folks. I appreciate you coming out every Sunday and listening. God's blessed me with the ability to give out his word and use it properly, so I hope it touches some hearts today and it gets used properly. As always, folks, I do a song first so that others can get a chance to get here and find their place in Scripture, and this will give us a chance to get in the Spirit. And this morning's message, like I said, is going to be from Matthew 22:34-40. I post this, and then I put all of the information there, and I also share it on Facebook. So if you're ever looking for it, go find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook, and you'll find these messages. We're going to start out in Matthew in chapter 22. And then Proverbs 25, Proverbs 3, and Matthew 6. And I might have a few others in there as well, but for now, that's where we're going to go. And I'm going to start off with the song, as I said, and then we'll go from there. Let me get everything straightened out here. Thank you again, though, for being here. Wonderful words of life. About 2 minutes long, and we'll be right back, folks. And then we'll do prayer. Music and giving us an opportunity to share the words, Lord, from your scriptures with others. We just thank you for letting us be here. Father, this morning's prayer requests are only a few. I haven't been on Facebook for a little bit, so I'm limited to who I'm in contact with, but I do have other prayers for those around me from here in the community and for those that I know that need our prayers, Lord. Thank you, Father, for letting me share with people. Our prayers list this morning, like I said, we have a prayer request for Elizabeth's mom. Elizabeth's a friend of my wife. Elizabeth's mom had a severe stroke Friday. She's been in a nursing home in Freeport, Maine. And she's doing okay, but she's not talking well. So if you'd pray for Elizabeth's mom, Elizabeth and her mom and her family are really close. I know because my wife tells me what they, you know, what's going on around them and what's happening. But please pray for Elizabeth's mom. Jody Hammond mentioned, and I wouldn't have known this until I saw it when I went on last night on Facebook, but her dad's been hospitalized here locally. Her dad's getting older. He's getting up in age. He's probably going to have to be put into a nursing home. I don't think he can be cared for much longer at home. It's gotten to that point. So please pray for Jody's father. And then Annette Lewis Gift had posted Seth Harris had passed away. He's a young father and son and a brother, obviously a husband, but he's passed away, and I don't know the reasons, but I do know this. Could you please pray for Seth, that the family's going through a tough time right now? Diane Sawyer, another friend of mine on Facebook, didn't ask for prayer, but I noticed she liked the idea that I asked for prayer yesterday. Let's just pray for Diane as an unspoken. for family and friends, for all of us, for our families and friends. And then there was a plane that went down in Russia. I just happened to notice that, too. And I'm trying to avoid the Internet, but I noticed some plane went down over in Russia. So obviously there's a big investigation going on, and somebody got hurt, who knows what. I don't know if there's people dead or not, but pray for the incident in Russia with the plane. Pray for those over there that are in the Olympics. They're in a foreign land, and anything can happen. We just don't know, but let's just pray that they have a good time over there and everything goes well with the Olympics and there's never a problem. Pray for our president, for all of those that are working in our government. They're doing a lot to try to rebuild our economy, and it's not an easy thing to do, and there's all these other things popping up, political scandals and all of the stuff that goes on with that, you know, because they're always looking to dig up dirt on somebody to get the opponent thrown out. Instead of working to fix the system, they're spending all of our money and our time with scandals. Whether they're true or not, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But, folks, let's get right. None of us are righteous. All of us are sinners. So I'm not saying that we should defend them or not defend them or whether it's right or wrong or whatever's going on in these people's lives, but we have a government to run, and we can't run it if we're nitpicking. If things have gone on in a person's life, they've gone on in a person's life. Let's move along, folks. None of us are righteous. We have to be able to be forgiving. If we don't forgive others, why would we expect for God to forgive us? So, folks, I'm asking for prayer for those that are there. My back is finally starting to feel better. Man, did it bother me for the last couple of weeks. God's been good. He's helped me get through it. He's helped me to work through the things that are going on around here. The snow, we've had a lot of snow this season. So my back is sore from carrying wood and cutting wood all spring and all season all the way up till wintertime. And then having to shovel and move snow. It's taken its toll. For all my children, I have three children, two daughters and a son. I just asked for prayer for them. I asked for prayer for my youngest daughter that she'd start going to church more often. Even if it's only once in a while, at least she'd go. I mean, she was brought up in the Word and drifted away, but she's now in a place where she could probably get to church on Sunday. I'm not positive. I don't know her work schedule. She's older now. She's on her own. She's able to care for herself and take care of herself. And for my children's spouses, my daughter's married, so for her husband, and for my son, my daughter-in-law. I ask for prayer for them and for their children, for my grandchildren. I have five of them right now and have one on the way. So please pray for everything to go well with that. My daughter-in-law has got some blood issues going on where the blood platelets are low, so please pray for Erin, that her pregnancy, everything will go well. Let's pray for my children's families, the spouses, my daughter-in-law, Erin, and her brothers and sisters and her family. But I thank you for letting me share with you, Lord. I thank you for all of this, for Johnny's families, for his mom, his father, his aunts, his uncles, his cousins. I don't want to be forgetting anyone, Lord, but I know that it would take me all day long to go through the prayer list. But I thank you, Father, for allowing me to pray for them, for Dorothy, for Dorothy's friends, for those that are struggling with alcohol and addiction out there in the world, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving me the opportunity to do this. All we ask is in Jesus' name that you watch over them and keep them all safe. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So this morning's message was Jesus gave two commandments to live by. You know, last week I was thinking about this. I get tired sometimes, worn down, weary, and the devil likes to make me think I ain't got no more energy left and I can't make it. But, you know, the Lord gives me the strength to continue on to do what God's asked me to do. And one of those things for me was to continue to stay in the Word and share the gospel and then be a helper to others and be there and help when I'm able to. So the first one here, it says in Matthew 22:34, it says this. It says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first commandment, he said. Jesus said this. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. So it's the greatest commandment of them all, is that we should love the Lord, that we should love him, not only just love him outrightly, but we should love him with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with our whole mind. And if we love the Lord, then we'd be sharing ourselves, just like the Lord does with his self. He shares himself with us. We should share ourselves with others, and we should love others as God loves us if we truly love him. Now, the Bible also says you can't say you love someone if you don't love God. And you can't say you love God if you don't love others. You see, it works hand in hand, because God loves us, then we should love others. And that's what that means. Now, if we look further, it says in verse 39, and the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, how many of you have neighbors around and you really don't care for them? I know there's an incident, I won't go into it, but somebody's got a problem with a neighbor that, not somebody, but many of us. But there's a neighbor that was pretty disrespectful, and the individual has voiced their opinion more than enough times, and nothing has really happened. It's just a disrespectful situation. Having neighbors sometimes is the toughest thing. They encroach on our property. They cause noise next door. They do things that make us unhappy. But, you know, we should pray for those people. When we live with people that are our neighbors, whether it be in a trailer park or an apartment building or just a community, everyone is entitled to their own life, their own time, and their own way of living. But we're supposed to be loving them. Now, if they have a need, the Bible says we should go out and help them. It says that we should work with them to make life easier for all of us. You know, so many of us say we want a better life. We want a peaceful life. Why can't the world all get along? Well, they can't because we ourselves don't even do that. I'm just as guilty as I have neighbors that I don't care for. Okay? But I do my best to try to not involve myself in their situations, especially if it's not it's not conducive to God's word. Let's put it that way. It doesn't help me to be good to them when they live so worldly that they would cause me to go astray. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't help them. It doesn't mean that I can't be there for them. It doesn't mean that I can't love them like God loves us or like Jesus loves us, and do things for them. It's good for us to help others. We know that because when we do things for others, we feel good, right? If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, shouldn't we want to do as he asks us? The second commandment tells us we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Do we really care for our neighbors? I mean, honestly, we're supposed to love them as we love ourselves. Well, then if that's the case, then we would do for them. We wouldn't let them suffer. We wouldn't let them go without. We wouldn't let the elderly be in their home without a visit. We wouldn't let the person make ends meet when we could help them out with doing something for us. Do we really care for our neighbors as we do? Some of us would have to admit that we don't. Some of us, including myself. I know Scripture teaches us we're to heap coals of kindness on our enemies' heads. It says it right here in Proverbs 25:22. Okay, Proverbs 25:22 says this. It says, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Whose head? If thine enemy, in verse 21, let's go back there. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. You know, it doesn't stop there. If you see your neighbor who has bad shoes, he can't walk, it's snowing up here where we are, maybe not snowing at the moment, but if I saw my neighbor and all he had on was a pair of sneakers all the time and I see him walking in the snow and slosh and I got extra boots around or money to buy a pair, I should be willing to help him out. If we know that somebody has a need, we should be willing to do that for them. If we're being selfish, we're serving Satan. If we're doing for others, we're doing what Jesus does for us. We're doing what we're supposed to for what God asked us to do. It's our responsibility, folks, to help others. You can say no. You can say, well, I got my own house to take care of. Yeah, you do. And what's the first thing we do when we look at somebody who has more money than they know what to do with? And I won't go down a list of names, and I sure could. But there are people that have more money than they know what to do with, and they won't even share it with those that have need. And then there are those that have money, and they share with the needy, but only to an extent, so they can write it off on their taxes as a gift, or so they can feel good about themselves. Because look at me, I'm a nice guy, I help. But yet they don't give their best of the rest. You know, in the Bible it talks about we should give our best away and keep the worst for ourselves. So if my coat has a hole in it and I have a brand new one and somebody needs a coat, I should give them the new one and keep my old one. Now, I'm not saying we always do that. And you know we don't, folks. I'm not being a fool here. But I'm trying to explain something to you. Sometimes we're so busy thinking about ourselves, we could care less about the others. We'll give them our garbage before we give them our goods. And then we expect for God to give us His good, His best, His blessing. And what do? We ain't even willing to get out of bed in the morning to go out and help somebody when they have a need. And when they knock on our door and ask for help, again, we don't do it. We don't even do it sometimes for our own families. It's a shame. We want the rewards from the Lord. And if we really want those rewards from the Lord, then we have to act like the Lord, live like the Lord, and give like the Lord, and have compassion and mercy and love and peace just like the Lord has for us. Or how can we expect the Lord to want to do that for us? You know, I know there are many people that will say, I appreciate you coming around and help me, Preacher Bill. But they don't come help Preacher Bill. Now, I don't care. I'm not worried about it, because God always blesses me with the ones that will, or the ones that have the time and the ability to. Now, I'm not picking on any of you. So I don't. It doesn't affect me one way or another. It gets to be a struggle at times when I have to do by myself. But that's okay, because the Lord just makes me stronger. He helps me understand that that's the way it has to be for right now. He still loves me. He hasn't given up on me. He won't give up on you if you're just stuck doing it all by yourself too. But that doesn't mean you don't go out and help others. I know I feel blessed and content when I do for others. And I know you do as well. I hear it from some of you, how good you feel when you're doing for others. It's my calling to be a helper. That much I already know. When we have compassion on others, and even when we, at the least, or the least of them, deserve it. They don't even deserve it, but we still do it. You know why we do it? Because it feels good, because we know we're doing what God asked us to do. So don't go around being discouraged. Don't be upset because things don't go the way you want. Don't act like you're aggravated because nobody's helping you. I get that way. I know. We all do. It's a human fleshly thing. But then look to God and go, you know what? God blesses me. We get weighted down with all of this discouragement, folks. It causes us all this depression. And then next thing you know, we don't want to do anything for anybody. We don't even want to help the ones that need it the most, or the ones that, you know, I heard something on the radio the other day. I got to tell you this. The other day I heard something. These people live in a foreign land. They live a lot worse than we do here in the United States. When I tell you a lot worse, I'm talking they don't have half of what we have. Matter of fact, they don't even have a tenth of what we have, half of them. Okay? And you know what? Somebody said to them, when you're preaching to these people, what do you see when you look in their eyes? You've got to see that they've given up. He said, no, you know what I see? I see the pain of Jesus Christ. Do we look at the eyes of some of these people that don't deserve help and see the pain of Jesus Christ? Because if we did, we'd want to help, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we want to pull them out of that mess by helping them and being there for them? That means not just for the neighbors, not just for your families, because what kind of love would you have if all you do is share the love to the ones you love? We need to start loving the ones we don't love, start showing the ones we don't care about that we do care. That makes the world a whole lot nicer. Pray for those, like I said, pray for those that use you and despitefully use you. There's many people out there that do that to us. But we should pray for them anyway. On the other hand, let's look at this. When we do right, and we should be doing right all the time, folks, especially when we don't think anybody's watching. We should be doing good for people no matter what. Because it's never wrong to do right. And there's never a perfect time to do right. We should do right all the time. Then it's always a perfect time. We do it not for ourselves, but we do it because it's a commandment from the Lord. Do what is in our power to do so. Another great Proverbs in 3:27 says this, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. In other words, when you have the ability to do it, do it. Don't make excuses. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, and come back some other time, or come again. And tomorrow, come see me tomorrow, and I'll give it to you, when thou hast it by thee right then. You see, if someone comes to you and knocks on your door and asks for a loaf of bread, and you have it, give it to them, even if it means you're going to go without today. God will bless you again. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, it says in 29, seeing he dwelleth securely by you. You see, when you cast evil on others, when you treat your neighbor wickedly or wrong, how can God bless you? You're living within the wrong. You're living in the own evil that you created. But if you do things in a nice manner and try to help one another to make things much better, eventually even your enemies have to fall at their feet and say, what do you want from me? Why are you being so nice to me? Why is it you're always nice? I have a friend down in Connecticut, a preacher's wife. She used to make me crazy. She was always in a good mood, still is to this day. God love her. I don't know how anybody could be so cheerful after all she's been through. And yet she is. You know why? Because God gives her the blessings day after day after day after day. And even in her days of the worst of sorrows, of when she doesn't want to do, she still does. She's like God in the flesh right in front of you. Always being nice to people. I used to think they had some kind of drugs. But, you know, to be honest with you, that's how we're supposed to be. Always willing, always giving, even if it means giving of our own stuff, taking off the shirt off our back to make somebody else's life happier and better. It is the honorable thing to do right, when we have the ability to do so. That honor is to the Lord, not to ourselves. And we should not be doing for others with the expectation of gaining from our good deeds. God will give us our rewards. For if we gain from the good deeds now by bragging or blowing our own trumpet, we have gained a reward. We have not really gained one when we're bragging about it. Our reward is right then. We bragged, there's your reward. It says in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, let's look at this for a second. Matthew 1 through 4 says this, 6, 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. That means don't go out and brag to everybody. Don't be going, oh, look what I did. I helped this one, I helped that one, like I hear a lot of people say. To be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You see, we should just do because we're supposed to. I've done some things I don't tell people about. I just do them. I've had people say, oh, a lady down in Connecticut one time. For months, I didn't tell her who was doing her driveway. I'd sneak over early in the morning and clean it out. And she finally caught on. She had to get up early to catch me. And I mean early. So she caught me. She said, hey, I've been waiting for you. She goes, you must be my snow angel. Because I never knocked on the door and told her I was going to do it. But I cleaned out her van, got her ready so she can get up in the morning and go do whatever she had to do if she chose to do so. That's what we're supposed to do. We get our blessings later. The lady felt so good about it. Of course, she tried to pay me, and that was not the plan, and I didn't want it. And God blessed me always. I had good neighbors. I used to go out with my snowblower, and I'd take off and do other people's driveways just because I was out. And I was already outside anyways, and I'm cold. Why should they come out and get cold? It says here in verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets. And they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You see, when they blow their trumpet like the hypocrites do, see, you've been recognized. You don't need to be recognized by God any longer. You've been recognized by those you want to be recognized by, the people around you. When you do and you don't ask for anything, and you do it because it's your job as your responsibility, as Jesus said, to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and do that and do for others, without any expectations, just because that's what you're supposed to do, God blesses you. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. You see, when we do, and do it unexpected with any reward, God says, you know what, I'm going to honor that. And he blesses us and gives to us and takes care of us and provides for us. It's amazing if you go through Scripture, the things that you can find and the things that you will find. Matthew 5:44 says this. I'm going to go read this one. I found this after I was doing the message last night, and I said, well, if I get time this morning, I can do it. I'm going to read it. Matthew 5:44 says, But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Isn't that great? You know, Jesus said that. This ain't just somebody's writing. When my Bible, and it's in red, that means Jesus said it. He said, them that hate you. Whew. That's a tough one. That, and then it goes into verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You want to be loved by God? Follow those two commandments. Those two commandments that he gave back there in 22, Matthew 22. I got to get back there. Let me get back to 22. I'm going to lose my spot. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. That means love the Lord and do as the Lord wants. Because when you love the Lord, when you love somebody, you're willing to do for them no matter what. That's how you show your love. It's up to you folks to show your love to the Lord. It's up to you to do that if you expect for the Lord to love you back. If you can't be willing to cast all your foolishness of hatred, aggravation, frustration, dislike, discontentment, call it whatever you want, throw that all to the wind and do good for somebody just because you can. Just because it's in you to do so. Your ability to do good, and we all have it. You do that, God will bless you. And the second one's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So when you have it within you for somebody, do it for your neighbor just as you would want them to do for you. Luke 6:27 says this. Let me get over there, Matthew 26:27. I don't want to run out of time either. So Matthew 6:27. If I can get there fast enough. I had my hand on it a minute ago and I lost my place. Here we go. Come on. Luke 6:27 says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. 28, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. In other words, when they come and take something from you, give them something else. If they're that mean and rotten to you, treat them right. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Listen to that, folks. For if ye love them which love you, and that's all you do, what thank have ye? It says here, for sinners love them also that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have, to receive your thanks, ye have already. For sinners also lend. Look, I'm not going to go any further, folks. You get the gist. I'm running out of time. I never get enough time on a Sunday. I could read the Bible to you. I thank you for coming out and listen, folks. Please pay attention. Follow those two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. And then love your friends, your families, your neighbors especially. And be good to them. My last song for you this morning, I got to get over to it. God bless you for being here, folks. Thank you for sharing with me and being here. I love you. Thank you for being here. Here's our song.
Guys?
Oh, they're going to give me a commercial.
I
didn't want that.
But it's going to show you,
I'm stuck with it.
It's going to show you what God does.
Let me see if I can get rid of that. There. Let's see if I can get rid of that. Because that isn't what I wanted. It'll be in archives, folks. God bless you for being here. Thank you for letting me share with you. See, he's going
to
do it again. They don't want
to
let me do it. That's all right. I'll shut that off. I will play the song, though, folks, when the time comes. How this mess gets... But that's the internet for you. Thank you for being here. I can't even tell you come find me on Preacher William Preacher Bill Barnes, because I won't be back there until March. But thank you for being here either way. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed the message. We'll see you again next Sunday. Let's see if I can get my song to play now. No, see, this thing is foolishly enough, it's going backwards on me. It doesn't want to allow it. No, Okay. Let me see if I can find it somewhere else.
All right. Well, God bless you, folks. Have a great day. The computer just went kaput for some reason.